from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Morning Show. Good morning, everybody. It's brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Caboli loves us so much he won't leave.
No.
He's just yapping in our ears off here. Said, Mark, don't you have a life? He said, no, I'm going to the Steelers facility right now.
He's real excited about that.
I think he's happy to have a job. Couple jobs.
Yep.
And he'll be doing more stuff with us moving forward, it sounds like. So, jacked up about that.
Yes.
What do we do? Are we doing him every Monday or Tuesday? I think you want Monday, right?
Monday.
I think we could do Monday.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think about their travel schedule and if we can get him in here. But he can call in.
Yeah.
That's right.
Video.
Yeah. We do have a video component now.
We do.
And our very popular YouTube stream where you can watch and see our bright, smiling faces every morning. It is 9:03. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. What are they talking about nationally with this Steelers quarterback battle? Because locally, I think we all understand it's Russell Wilson, right? Dan Orlovsky yesterday.
I would have started Justin Fields, but this was never a quarterback competition. We were bamboozled a little bit.
No one was bamboozled, apart from the national media. Russ Wilson has been in pole position the entire preseason. Since the second they got him, he was in pole position. He has done nothing to lose the job. Justin Fields has done nothing to take the job. Anybody that's shocked that it's going to be Russell Wilson has not been paying attention, and they probably haven't been listening to our show. We've talked about the merits of both. Why to start Russ? Why some people might want to start Justin Fields. But all along, it was going to be Russell Wilson. And we've been all over that. Just like you were the only guy who was all over the fact that they could bring in both players. And you nailed that. But now it's nut cutting time. And Tomlin has not made the quote-unquote official announcement, and he said he will at the end of this week. Okay, fine, we know it's going to be Russ. What are we expecting out of Russ? Are we expecting a good season? 412-928-9370. We'd love to talk to you about this. Best caller wins a pair of tickets to the Pirates game on September 14th. What do you think, Doran? You think Russ is going to have a good year?
Absolutely. I really do. From what he did last year, knowing that situation with Sean Payton and the friction that was there. I mean, still 20-1 in the red zone and 26-8 overall, touchdown to interceptions. He's not going to be asked to win games, kind of like Kenny Pickett, but like he is a veteran and he has won. And that's kind of how he operates. He's going to just be asked to do the things that he does well. And I think that that's going to lead to him having a good year. Like, he's not going to put the ball in harm's way. He's going to be smart with the football. He's going to get his team and the offense into good situations, try to get him out of bad situations. He's going to play the quarterback position like a 35-year-old, semi-athletic, still quarterback. Like, that's what he's going to do. So I think that is going to equate to him having a pretty good season. He's not going to do anything crazy to wow anybody, but he's also not going to do anything crazy to wow anybody negatively either.
I agree with that. I agree with everything you just said. And we have seen in the recent past a good statistical season from a quarterback that didn't feel like a great year. And I think it's going to be similar to that. Russ last season, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Statistically very good. A quarterback rating of 100. That's good. Ben Roethlisberger's final year, he threw 30 touchdowns, 10 picks. And I think it left a lot to be desired. Like, there were times it didn't look like very good quarterback play from Ben, and yet he put up good numbers. I think we're going to see that from Russ. I think there's going to be moments where he holds on to the ball too long, and you're going to go, oh, man, what's he doing? I think there are going to be moments where there's a throw he could have made in the past that he tries to make now, and it's not going to work. But I think all of us would sign up for Ben's final season this year from Russ.
Yes.
Because that would be a significant upgrade over what they had recently. And you would like to grade Russell Wilson against his peers and just be able to ask the question, is Russ having a good season? But if you grade Russ against the quarterback play that they have had, and you grade Russ against maybe some of the other options that were available for them to acquire this offseason, I think at the end of the year, we're going to go, oh, well, Russ outperformed what Kenny would have done. He outperformed what Rudolph would have done, and he outperformed what Ryan Tannehill could have done. I think we're going to go, okay, the Steelers made the right call to get him and the right call to start him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he gives them the best opportunity, particularly early, to win games when you're going to need to get into the right plays, where you're going to need to get the ball out of your hand quicker. I don't know that Justin Fields would get you in the right plays. I don't think Justin Fields is going to get the ball out quicker. I think he's going to default to athleticism. I think Russ is going to have a really solid season for the Steelers this year. And if you could replicate 26-8, I think this probably looks like a playoff team. And I know they don't have a number two wide receiver. I'd feel better about all the things I'm saying if they did. But I think he can lift the boats in a way that Kenny Pickett could not.
Yes.
And
yes,
I think he can get more out of these guys than any of the other available options would have been able to get.
I just hope that he can do that. Like, I mean, obviously we're in lockstep here with Russ. I just hope he could do that with the offensive line immediately. Because that's where right now there's a big hole at receiver, and we all know that. But nothing can happen unless your offensive line is on the same page and the offensive line is holding up. Because if the offensive line doesn't hold up, it doesn't matter who's back there. They're not going to be able to get the ball out, and they're not going to be able to go into certain places to have a successful offense. So I hope that he can – I know that he can lift up the receivers and lift up that core unit, and then having Arthur Smith game plan and do certain things that we were talking about with Kabali, with George Pickens moving and slot moving guys around, doing that and creating matchups. But can Russell Wilson almost hide this offensive line's holes immediately? It has to happen from week one.
Right.
It can't be week four. It has to happen week one, where he has to call a certain protection, or a certain protection is called, and he calls a different one because he sees rotation, he sees all the football stuff, and he puts them in a good position that he can get the ball out. Like, I hope he could do that.
And Justin Fields, if he were going to make up for the offensive line, he'd do it with running around.
With his legs, yes.
But I don't know that he would do, and people don't love this, what Russ would do in this specific situation. It's third and a lot. You get stymied on the run on first and second down, and line gets caved in, and Russ just checks the thing down. Like, that's valuable, particularly in the early going as this young offensive line gels. I know people hated it when he did it to Freiermuth in his first game of the preseason. That's better than a turnover. And I trust Russell to check it down, to throw short of the sticks, and that's not sexy at all. But I keep saying it, early in the season, don't turn it over. Punt the ball away. You have the highest paid defense in the NFL. Win that way until this line gels. And Russ, to everything you're saying, gives them the best chance to do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's also this. You know, people want to say that Russ didn't play well last year. He hated his boss. Yeah. And his boss hated him.
Yes.
That's not an easy thing to deal with. You have two wildly different philosophies going head to head.
Yes.
And Sean Payton wanted to be looked at as the genius, and he wanted everything Russ did to be within the framework of the offense. And Russ is, at times, a little bit of an improviser. Tomlin has already talked this offseason about letting Justin Fields be Justin, and that's a guy who has turned the ball over a lot. If Tomlin's saying he trusts Justin to be Justin, I think he's going to trust Russ to be Russ, and there should be no friction there. I think Tomlin, you've said this a bunch, just wants the offense to do its own thing.
Yep.
You've got a coordinator you trust. You got a quarterback you trust. And I think that should help Russell Wilson this year. Like, I love Craig Riley. He doesn't say, don't say this, don't say this, don't say this. If he did, that'd make it hard to come to work every day. He doesn't do that. Sean Payton hated his guts and vice versa. It's going to make it a lot easier on him this year. And I don't think you can discount that at all. 412-928-9370. So now it's time for you to weigh in. Both Doran and I think Russ can have a pretty good year this season. Do you? 412-928-9370 on that fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Best caller on this wins a pair of tickets to the Pirates game on September 14th.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Roster cutdown day in the NFL, 4 p.m. Eastern time. The Steelers will have to make their cuts. Could they swing a trade for a wide receiver? Could they find somebody else's trash and turn it to their treasure at the inside cornerback position? We'll get more into that coming up in the next segment, and I'll tell you why I'm a little bit annoyed that we're here with all that. But the question right now is this, at 412-928-9370, do you think Russell Wilson's going to have a good year? We're expecting that he'll be named the starter at the end of this week. Dorn and I both think he is going to have a good year. What do you think? 412-928-9370. That's also the text line brought to you by Eggersteiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Start things off with Ken in Huntington, PA. Hello, Ken.
Hey, guys. First of all, more Caboli. You can't have too much Caboli.
Caboli is in demand nationally right now, Ken. I mean, this guy is as popular a yinzer as there is in the world.
And he is a yinzer. I just think Russ is going to use his experience and just manage the games. And it would be nice to have another number two receiver, but I think Russ is going to use his experience and use the third and fourth and fifth option, and he's going to spread the ball around. And every once in a while, he's going to come up with a big, big play. I think he's going to have a big year. Keep everybody healthy, and we're going to win 12 games. We're going to get in the playoffs, and we're going to win a game or two there.
Thank you,
so,
Ken.
I'm excited.
Appreciate the call. Got to win in 12 games, Dorn. I know I brought this up in the past. Can he be as good as Mason Rudolph was for the final three games?
Yeah.
If he could do that over the course of a year, and I realize his quarterback rating is like 117, but you know what I'm saying here. Get the ball to the right people, get into the right plays. If he could do that for 17 games, the Steelers' offense will be functional.
Mm-hmm.
Even though this line right now leaves a lot to be desired. I like the pieces, but leaves a lot to be desired, even though the wide receiver core is maligned and for good reason. If he can just be a professional quarterback, that's more than what they've had the last couple of years. I mean, 2 years ago, Kenny's a rookie. I don't really put that on Kenny. And then last year, you had the whole Kenny Canada Express. So can he just go out there and be professional? Because if he can, I still think that your defense is good enough, and now you got a punter. You can win some football games that way. Like, can he make plays not just on third downs and in the fourth quarter is, I guess, what I'm saying here. Because that's what Kenny was doing.
Right, like for a full game, and I don't see why he couldn't. Now, he does need a supporting cast. That's what I come back to. But if they want to run the football and you have Jaylen Warren that's going to be healthy in the beginning of the year and you do have Najee Harris, I mean, that could set up things for Russell Wilson to do in the passing game. That's how they're going to operate. It's just, can that offensive line hold up immediately? And can George Pickens be a guy? Can they find a number two outside of Pat Freiermuth that could just hold up on the other side and catch the balls that are thrown to them whenever they are open? You know, like, can Van Jefferson be that guy? I really think it comes down to Van Jefferson.
Well, whatever, that's not
said,
good.
Whatever, it's all said and done. Like, can Van Jefferson be, what, the 2021 version of Van Jefferson? If he can, they'll be fine. If not, it's not going to look great. You know, it may look great with, I mean, it may look okay, but it's not going to look great. Don't get by.
Two reasons for optimism for me. I think, and he only had 7 carries, I think Najee looks really good right now. Like, he looks a little quicker to me, which is, I think, the biggest element that's always been missing from his game. And I think that George Pickens looks slippery. Like, he almost broke that one pass, that swing pass from Russell on Saturday. His elbow goes down, but run after the catch. He looks like he's got another level of determination to me right now. And I'm reading that only off of a few opportunities in the preseason, but he looks like he's playing with a purpose. Here's a text. And you can also tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. I know you're using it in the figurative sense. However, people are not trash. Thank you. Yes, I know people are not trash, for God's sakes. I did see yesterday Charlie Batch tweet out that this is a tough day for a lot of people. Roster cutdown day. And I do think that is important to remember. Like, hey, who could the Steelers bring in? But a lot of guys are going to lose their jobs today. So, yeah, you do want to treat them as human beings. But what is that? Is it an idiom? Someone's trash and is another man's treasure? I don't know. I don't mean that in the literal sense.
Right.
Relax. 412-928-9370. Dan in Upper St. Clair. You didn't punch any Mount Lebanon kids lately, did you, Dan?
No, I have not, despite my urge to sometimes.
Did you see that?
No.
No, I did not. I'm not aware.
Oh, guys. You got to go on, Marty's Twitter account. There was some Upper St. Clair dude who was beating up a Mount Lebanon student after a football game. So the more things change, the more they stay the same. What do you got for us, Dan?
I just think I don't think Rush is going to have a great year, but through no fault of his own, I just think this line is really concerning. And you just mentioned it's all he has to do is be a professional quarterback, and they are making it really hard for him to do that with this line, with this receiver core, with a new offensive coordinator coming in to gel everything. Like, it's going to take the time that we don't have with the way the schedule is. And unfortunately for Russ, I don't see it working out.
Thank you, Dan. I mean, with the way the schedule is, I do think if it were reversed, you'd have no time.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. With the division games in the front half.
Yeah. If your first 9 games were all your division games, the Eagles in Kansas City, you've got no time.
Mm-hmm.
You've got no time. But what are you looking at? Atlanta?
Chargers,
Broncos, and Colts. Yeah.
Colts.
And, boy, Anthony Richardson sure was interesting the other day.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually do think you've got a chance to warm into the season. I mean, those are games you kind of have to win because of the way the season finishes up. Let me play devil's advocate on the offensive line real quick, though. And you can make an argument that Broderick's worse right now than he was last year because he's dealing with the injury. But we heard Mark say this in the last hour, Caboli, the Pat McAfee Steelers insider. He said he thinks it's going to be Broderick at right and Dan Moore Jr. at left to start the season. That's the same exact offensive line you finished with last year, with the exception of you have a center that should be able to snap the football and should be an upgrade. Should be. And they were playing pretty well at the end of last season. So if you've got 4 out of the 5 guys coming back and a rookie with pedigree, I know you can't just pick up the end of last season and drop it on the beginning of this season. There's been a lot of time in between. But they could surprise early.
New offense. New terminology. New scheme. New protections. New everything.
Damn it. Cam in the car, hello. Goodbye, Cam. Tim in Saxonburg, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, man?
So, my feeling is the decks are stacked against Russell Wilson big time right now because he knows coming in he has to probably go 7-2 in the first 9 games. He has a rookie he has a backup quarterback behind him that everybody loves. You know, everybody loves a backup quarterback in every football team. He has new offensive coordinator. He has... Well, since he's on a new team, all new players, new everything else. But what no one else is talking about is this is his last – he's on a 1-year deal with the Steelers. if he does not perform, he might not get a contract. Now, that being said, I think Russ is going to have a good year because he's mentally strong. Not a lot of quarterbacks can go into Denver where they hate you, they bench you, and then they put you back in and still put up the numbers that he did. But I think Russ is going to be playing for a contract and also be playing for his legacy, because the last thing that he doesn't want is that people think of him as the last 4 years as getting, you know, swapped out by Justin Fields in Pittsburgh and stinking in Denver. So I think he's going to have a good year.
Tim, do you like the Pirates?
I love the Pirates.
You're going to the game on September 14th. You get two free tickets, Buccos, on September 14th. So thank you for the call. The best call. Because I think that, that's something we didn't bring up. And I actually thought he was going in a different direction, so then I was going to bring it up. He's playing for his football life, man.
Yeah, he's as motivated as he's ever been right now.
I buy into that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I try to make things analogous with myself, but, you know, I bet on myself coming over here. And so you just work your ass off every day, and you hope to get rewarded. And this is, I'm not a Hall of Fame broadcaster. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. This is last call, baby, at the OK Corral.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows his legacy is besmirched now. And a lot of people in the national media seem to be taking the jack wagon Sean Payton side. Go be a good teammate, put up numbers, win games, and people will be talking about Russ as potentially a hot commodity this offseason, who you're probably not going to have to pay $60 million like Dak. I think that means an awful lot.
Yes.
He wants to prove the naysayers wrong. And I think that kind of motivating factor is a big deal. I think he goes into Denver, too, by the way, week two, and plays the game of the season for the Steelers.
There's two games on the Steelers schedule that if you're betting, which we have a lot of betting people to join our show, that the Steelers will absolutely at least cover. And if you want to bet props, that Russell Wilson will have all the overs in his props. And that's the first game, Atlanta, with Arthur Smith being the offensive coordinator, and wanting to dial it up, and he's going to dial it up for us, and it's going to be Denver. Russell Wilson will ball out those two games.
Oh, man, imagine going in. I mean, that two revenge tour games right away.
Yep.
Right away with Arthur Smith and with Russell Wilson. That really would have stunk, too. I know that we've talked about this, but Tomlin was never really going to go with Justin Fields. What a slap in the face that would have been, man. If game two, it's Justin Fields walking up into Mile High.
Horrible.
You got to give Russ a chance.
Yeah.
And you're going against Bo Nix. So, hey, perfect chance for Sean Payton to show he's a genius, right? Steelers high-paid defense. You're at home. Rookie quarterback. Not much expected of a rookie in his first season and second career start. Well, let me show everybody just how smart I am. I'm Sean friggin' Payton. I think you're going to have to score some points in that game, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Schedule a heart screening today. Trust the nationally ranked experts at UPMC for your heart care. Coming up next, as we've mentioned time and time again today, at 4 p.m., roster cuts. And we are talking about players like Tim Patrick from the Broncos and John Metchie III from the Texans. And it's got me irritated. I'll tell you why when we come back. Today, a big day around the NFL, a big day in Steelers world. Roster's got to be cut from 90 to 53 by 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Steelers probably looking at inside corner, probably looking at wide receiver. Caboli said perhaps some outside linebacker depth. We know that there are expanded practice squads, and you can be a veteran and still be on the practice squad. So a lot of guys that you might go, oh my gosh, you feel like you're saying goodbye to today, they'll probably be back in short order. But we've talked about the fact that the Steelers reportedly have been talking to the Broncos about Tim Patrick, who hasn't played in 2 years because he had an ACL and then an Achilles in each of the last two seasons. They've talked to the Texans, reportedly, about John Metchie III, who only had 158 yards last year on 16 catches, missed his first NFL season after being diagnosed with leukemia. So both would be bounce-back kind of candidates. This is what we're waiting for now. I'm annoyed. And by 4 o'clock, I might be angry about this. Deontay Johnson was on your team.
Yep.
Dante Jackson probably would have been cut. I've heard some people push back about that. The reporting at the time was that Dante Jackson was going to be cut. You could have had Jackson. You could have had Deontay. Deontay could have been flipped for Ayuk. You could have Ayuk by now. Or maybe Deontay Johnson would be happy because the ball would be coming his way because you got two quarterbacks that can throw the ball your way. And now here they are on the last biggest transactional day before the season, and we're talking about whether or not it would help the team that you're going to get a guy that had fewer than 200 yards last year and a guy that hasn't even played in the last two seasons. That's where we are. I think Omar's done a great job this offseason. But if we're talking about Van Jefferson as the number two and Quez Watkins and Scotty Miller are still hanging around come September 8th, I think it's going to have been a huge failure. They created a hole that they have not filled. And I think it's fairly, it's unforgivable, really.
You know who I'm most mad about that they missed out on?
Please.
Jahan Dotson. The Eagles just traded for him, what, last week? I think I was out. I don't know if you talked about it or not, but like that's a prime candidate for a number two receiver, in my opinion.
It made me feel, Doran, like they thought they were still close on Ayuk.
Yeah.
So I would have made that move. I think that's another upside kind of player.
Uh-huh.
If they miss out on guys because they miss out on Ayuk, I think people have a right to be real mad.
Yeah.
Like, it's understandable you pass up on that because you're waiting, but you better get it done. And if you don't get it done, now you missed out on Ayuk. Or, excuse me, you missed out on Jahan Dotson. You're right. They could have also had Mike Williams. He signs with the Jets. They had a scheduled meeting with him. They never wound up having the meeting because he goes to the Jets first. Get him out to Pittsburgh first. Promise him some Sarah's candy or a Primanti sandwich or something. Get him here. Sign him. Have a backup plan. Van Jefferson ain't no backup plan. You're right. They missed out on a number of guys. And it's frustrating because I think they're pretty close. They don't have an upper echelon quarterback. I get that. But they're pretty close to having a really good roster apart from that. And they got two holes. You can comb over slot corner. You can. They've done that forever. Really care about corners less than any other players on that defense, and it's worked out well for them historically. You've got a great pass rush. You've got a good safety tandem. You've got good inside linebackers. You can comb over that. You can't comb over wide receiver if your number two is Van Jefferson.
Nope.
And here we are. Like, it's rubber meets the road day. And how about Stephon Diggs? You know, the Bills trade Diggs to Houston. They give up a 6th-round pick and a 5th-rounder, and it was a 2nd-round pick to get Stephon Diggs. Couldn't have been involved in that one?
Right.
Like, they traded him, Buffalo did, as a Super Bowl contender to a team that fancies itself a Super Bowl contender. The Bills, the last two times they played the Steelers, they beat them in the playoffs and whooped up on them in the regular season. So it's not like you don't want to ship the guy in conference. They already did that. 2nd-round pick for Stephon Diggs. Man, I'm telling you, by September 8th, we could do a whole show on all the guys they missed out on, waiting around and hoping for Brandon Ayuk.
So they better get him.
You better get him. Because if they walk away from all this with Tim Patrick or John Metchie, it's not going to be good enough. I mean, I would do it short of Ayuk. Like, it has a chance to make you better. But those are massive flyers. And I'm more inclined to do it with Metchie, too, because 2nd-round pick, it's his 3rd year in the league. You don't have to squint that hard to say, oh, wow, that's a good find. Whereas Tim Patrick, like the player, he hasn't played in 2 seasons. Yeah, I mean,
what's he really going to do?
And he turns 31 in November.
Yeah, no.
6'4", physical receiver. You watch the highlight film a couple years. If you told me you got the guy from a couple years ago, it'd be great.
I mean, the torn ACL and an Achilles?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, come on, what are we doing?
When someone just texted in Kadarius Toney. This is what we're doing. This is, no. I wouldn't have him on my CFL roster, Doran. And B, when people are throwing around, hey, how about Juju, who just got signed? How about Kadarius Toney? How about John Metchie III? How about Tim Patrick? You know what that means? You done screwed up. Unless you get Ayuk.
Yep.
And I was reading that some in sports talk radio circles out by the bay have said Ayuk and his agent might view the contract yesterday signed by CeeDee Lamb as one that they want to emulate a little bit.
Mm.
Look, Ayuk ain't that good.
No.
So he's not going to get that. But if he uses that as a framework and wants more than the Niners are willing to offer, again, we come back to the whole tax situation over here. You almost have to get Ayuk now or it's a total disaster. You're right about that.
You got to sweeten the deal.
You got to. I don't even think you need to give up more, but I think you offer to pay him more. And you make the 49ers offer look ridiculous, minuscule by comparison. I just can't believe here we are a couple of weeks out from the regular season and we're talking about Kadarius Toney. Texter, why is DK Metcalf not being mentioned? Because there wasn't one single rumor this offseason linking DK Metcalf to the Steelers. The only reason that we hypothesized about that in the back or in the past is because they had a cap crunch in Seattle.
Yes.
But they fancy themselves contenders, so they don't want to move on from DK Metcalf. What a disaster. All right, social media's biggest loser. Coming up next, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. 50-minute mark on the fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Going to hand things over to Paul Zeiss in a couple of minutes here. See on Twitter, Doran, that Oasis is trending. Are you familiar with Oasis?
Nope.
A band from the 90s, coming back. Little tour, little reunion tour. You know the song Wonderwall?
Nope.
My Wonderwall. You're not familiar with that one?
No.
How about Champagne Supernova in the Sky?
Oh, nope.
Really?
Really.
You know nothing about the Oasis?
No, nothing.
I think it's just Oasis. Stop Crying Your Heart Out? Definitely Maybe album? None of that? All right, well, the question then, as I pivot quickly, if you could bring something else back from the 90s, what would you bring?
Something back from the 90s.
Yeah, we've brought back Oasis now, apparently, with Liam Gallagher.
Man.
And you can't say Real Football.
I'd bring back gas prices. Being $5 to fill up your tank.
Was it ever really $5 to fill up your tank?
I vividly remember my mom at the gas pump and filling up the whole tank for $5.
All right, I'm going 1995 gas prices, $1.21 a gallon. So unless you're talking about a 5-gallon car, which I actually have no idea. How many gallons is your car hold?
We had a Honda.
I have no clue. Callis, you're a car guy. How many gallons does your car hold? The one you're going to take to the pit tailgate.
Six.
Okay. Well, then there you go. Yep. You're not that far off then. No. Might have been $5 to fill up the old tank.
Mm-hmm.
But weren't wages lower? What are we doing here? So you're bringing back gas prices. I want to bring back different colored ketchup.
Green ketchup.
Remember that?
The purple ketchup?
Yeah, that actually was nasty. It tasted exactly the same. But
of all things, you want to bring back ketchup.
I want to bring back Nickelodeon of that era.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
That's what I want to
bring back.
That
was on my mind. Yes.
Kids will never know, man.
Mm-hmm. Are you afraid of the dark? Guts?
Yes.
Legend of the Hidden Temple?
Legends of the Hidden Temple, dude. All-time show.
Salute Your Shorts.
Man, I would have given anything to be on Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yes.
Get gacked?
Mm-hmm.
Are we still gacking people in 2024? I don't know.
I think so. I think they do it on the Nickelodeon NFL broadcast.
That's true. They do that. Nickelodeon back then. I even was a big Disney Channel guy back in the day. The Disney Channel original movies.
Yes.
I'd go back to that era. The 90s were a simpler time.
Very simple.
Plus shorts with a lot of pockets in them. Now you watch these Gen Z children walking around and their shorts come up to their crotch. Men, women, everybody.
Like the 80s.
Yes. And I've dabbled. But you ever, like Rochelle, my wife walks around. She ain't got nothing, no room in her pockets. Bring back the cargo shorts.
Yes.
Because I ain't looking good anyhow. At least give me some functionality there.
Caboli was wearing camo cargo shorts earlier.
Caboli's shorts go down to his ankles. Caboli, I think, if you just plucked Caboli from the 90s and dropped him in right now, the only difference in the Cabolis is two new Achilles.
Yes.
And the hair has changed colors a little bit.
Yes.
Apart from that, same guy.
Yep.
Same fashion sense, same everything. Someone says blatant lie from Callis. He has no clue. Most tanks have 13. So there you have it. We're not car guys. Our apologies. Tomorrow on the show, Doug Whaley back. He's in studio from 9 o'clock until 10. John Wehner, Ray Fittipaldo. It's going to be a party. Coming up next, Paul Zeiss. I believe Starkey's out today. How much money would I have if I got a dollar every time I said Starkey's out today?
A lot.
Which he loves people bringing up, too. It definitely doesn't get under his skin. So no Starkey next, Paul Zeiss in. And Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 rebates, terms, conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 94.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.